Welcome to the Been There, Done That podcast with Angela Dunn Cartledge.
Hi, everyone. This is the Been There, Done That podcast, and I'm your host, Angela Dunn Cartledge. I'm here with Dr. Janine Mobley, and I can't wait to have this conversation about resilience, about hope, about how we can be business people. We just want to be part of what is happening in this world right now and be able to make an impact. So let's start there. I would love for you to tell everybody who you are and why you're here, and then we can jump into a great conversation from there.
Yay! So hello, everybody. So excited and grateful to be here. I am Dr. Janine Mobley. I'm affectionately known as Dr. Janine, and I help women turn their purpose into a profitable business while overcoming mindsets that will prevent profit, progress, and prosperity.
I love it. And I know your personal story has so much ups and downs, shall we say? that I know our audience can relate to. Tell us a little bit about how you got to here. What made this your purpose? What made you get to here?
Do we have enough time? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so we're gonna condense it. So I want you all to know who is sitting in front of you. So 2012, just to put perspective, the doctor part comes from a doctorate of pharmacy. And my husband and I became homeless in 2012. I was fired from my job, and it's so amazing because I have a very close relationship with God. And literally, I have moments where I can audibly hear his voice, but I can literally hear him saying that my time here at my job was winding down. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, I got a couple of months. Literally that afternoon, my boss called me into her office and fired me. Literally. And I came home, told my husband, and we had just moved. And shortly after, so trying to figure out like how do we navigate through this? Because I had never been homeless before or anything like that. And we made a decision to move. And the moment we moved in with my sister-in-law. So it's my sister-in-law, her three children, my mother-in-law in a two-bedroom duplex. My husband and I slept on the floor. And literally when we moved there, my husband was fired from his job. Talking about a shift, right? Talking about a huge shift. So fast forward in answering the question, how did I get here? It was in that moment when we were fired from my jobs, I said, never again will I ever depend on anyone to dictate my paycheck. Now, that doesn't minimize anyone who's an employee because I still work a full-time job as a mompreneur. However, I understand that I am gifted and I don't ever have to depend on anyone to pay my bills or any company to pay my bills when I have a gift that will open up doors and make room for me. And I realized, I said, there are so many women who have so many amazing gifts, yet they allow their mindsets to stop them from pursuing it and the stories that they tell themselves. And literally while I was homeless, I volunteered at a shelter, excuse me, to help women. And they didn't even know my situation, but I realized that sometimes when we are in the most darkest places in our lives is when our light can shine the brightest if we choose to. And having those moments and having those sessions, empowering those women and seeing the transformation. And years after I came out of that, I've seen women who remembered me and they're like, I remember you. You did this. I'm here. I'm there. I've done so much better having an encounter with you. I said, you know what? This is my purpose. This is my sweet spot. And here I am. Here I am. I hope that answers your question.
Oh, it's a perfect answer to my question. And I love the full circle moment. And I think you saw me throw my head back when you said you volunteered, because in those moments, we feel the most alone. We feel the most isolated, especially when we think about what other people might think about our current scenario or how we're handling our current scenario, but to be able and to give back in that moment is so powerful to me, because it did not, that is a very innovative way to look at your time where you didn't have a full-time job to go to. You obviously had a family to take care of and lots of things to figure out, but it wasn't, you had the time and you chose to give that time to other people. So powerful. My goodness, so powerful. And that, I want to empower our audience to think outside the box like you are, like you did, because that gives them the creativity and the permission to do something different. We don't have to do the same thing that everybody else has done in that situation.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you are on your drive home from finding out that you just lost your job. What is one hopeful thought that they can take with them in that moment?
That is, one, it's not the end. One of the things that I've grown to realize through that experience, and even when I found out I was pregnant one time and ended up having to have a DNC because that baby didn't make it, and losing my father at the age of 14. And sometimes when you have experiences like that, and granted, I mean, it is a lot, to say the least, but I realized even in that moment, it was a new beginning. And sometimes when you have a shift, I realized that it's all about perspective. Everything, it literally is all about perspective. How do I see what I'm going through right now? What is the perspective and the shift that I can have? And I saw an opportunity for something different. Now, granted, and this is true story, like, how am I going to pay? Like, how are we going to pay bills, right? How are we going to take care of this? How are we going to take care of that? Those things were going through my head. But at the same time, I was like, it caused me to begin to ask questions, because I know that when we ask questions, we'll get answers. So one of my first questions is, what is next for me? What is next for me? I know I'm leaving something, but we know when we leave something, we're destined to go somewhere else, right? So the question for me is, what is next? And I believe even for people right now who are going through the shift of figuring out, what am I going to do? Whether it's losing your job, especially for those of you all out there who are in the middle of transitioning, ask yourself, ask that question, what is next? Because a lot of the times people begin to hold on to job security and financial security when they know that there has been a shift. They know that there's been a call. They know that they had a book to write, a business to start, but I got to pay bills. I got to take care of family. But you still have a gift that will make room for you if you get up and do something with it. And sometimes I've grown to realize that if you're not thrusted and you're not tested, you'll continue to sit in the same spot. And that
you won't take a chance, right? You won't take that, and especially on a calling like that, when you know, and I can speak from personal experience, that you know that you have a story to tell, you know that you have something that you can reach out to people and give to people, and you're not doing it, then you are saying that your God is wrong. I mean, you, if that is the choice that you are making, and I'm putting that out there as my own words, that you are then saying, I know better than you do. And that's not where we want to be in faith. That's not where we want to be. And so I really love the concept that you're looking for the next open door. You're looking around going, okay, so who cares about that one? It's behind me. What's out here? What's in front of me that I can see? What can I be grateful for? What can I look for those are, to me, truly beautiful things that we can see light instead of the dark.
Absolutely. Because when you think about creation, we nothing that has been created that I have seen in terms of living creatures, especially human beings, were created to be stagnant. We weren't created to sit. Even if you think about people who are quadriplegic, right? There has to be some type of movement, even if somebody else has to move them. So we weren't created to sit somewhere and stay there forever. We were created to be productive. This is why I have coined the phrase that I am a solutionist. Even when I work with my clients, I teach them that you are the solution for the problem that you help solve. We are solutions. How? We are all creative beings. This is why when you sit, you think about ideas, you think about different ways and better ways to do things. You think about, you see somebody do something and immediately your gift opens up and say, hey, you could have done it a better way this way, or this can be more efficient, or that's more effective, or even on your job or the position that you were hired for, you went in there and did amazing things. That's a part of your gift. We are created to evolve. We have been created to create. So never wonder why sometimes things have to shift and change in your life, because you weren't created to sit and be stagnant.
We are not meant to be stagnant. Mm-mm. Dr. Mowgli, you are blowing my mind already. Okay, so ultimately, if we can look at the hope, we are not suggesting that you not process what is happening to you.
Absolutely.
Yes, you have to go through those emotions. You have to grieve it. You have to move forward. Absolutely. But to your point of being able to pay the bills, we also have to identify what we need to do differently in the future. And we can do that while we're processing. We can do those two things together. And that is so important for us to know, especially as women. We know that we can solve everybody's problems in our house, and you know, we have the responsibility of being caregivers, but to know that we are our own solution that then can be other people's solutions.
Absolutely.
Then what? So then what do we do? So we've decided that we're looking forward. We're not looking at the door in the background. We're looking at the doors in front of us and saying, well, what do I do now? How do we decide, or how do we find the thing that we are meant to do?
Ah, okay. So this is personal, and I'll give you the total. And this is how I discovered it. It's all about knowing who created you. So when you think about, I want you to think, and I always give this example. I'm so glad that you asked this question. When you think about, I use Tide detergent right now, and I love the smell of it. I'll use Gain. I love the smell of it, right? And if I ever wanted to know why Tide or Gain created the detergent that they created it, I would go to who? I would go to the companies that created the detergents to figure out, why did you create this? So when we think about our purpose and our gifts, the only way that we're going to ever know them is by going to the one who created us. You can't separate the creator from the creation. You can't. And in order for you to identify your gifts and your purpose, and I'm sure many people have ideas, but some people are not certain. And the only reason why you may have ideas is because God is just so amazing to me. He gives us unctions and he gives us clarity, right? He'll show us. But the only way to know your purpose and what your gifts are is to be in relationship with the one who created you. That way, you know, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What is the intention for my life? What am I supposed to be doing here on this earth? How am I supposed to be serving other people?
So brilliant. And that, to me, goes back to your original point about volunteering in those hard moments. When you have the moment where you can say, I don't know what my capacity is, but I'm still going to give a tithe. I'm still going to give my 10% somehow. That is the way that you can say, nobody was paying me to do it, but I really enjoyed it. And I really felt fulfilled doing that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go down that path.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you mentioned something, Angela, that I thought was very, very essential, the doing and the action part. Again, it goes back to we weren't created to be stagnant. That's why if you ever think about people, when people are depressed, right, they become stagnant. Depression will make, being depressed will make you stagnant. If you ever think about anybody who used to be very vibrant and then they decided not to do much after, or life happened and they never knew how to transition from or overcome those experiences, they become stagnant. They stay in dark rooms, dark places. They don't ever want to do anything else, right? And it goes back to that, because I've heard mention about a similar quote that, you know, when we, if we're not in movement, we die because we just weren't created in that way. So the only way that you're going to even figure out even an ounce of what you are created for, you have to do something. You have to take action. You have to begin to move in that capacity, right? I know even for me, and here's the amazing thing about it. Even for those of you all who have lost your jobs or you just don't know what you're going to do, you're looking at somebody who wrote a book, decided to write a book, even while I was unemployed, right? And here's the thing. That book, I wrote that book maybe 10 years ago. I'm still selling copies of that book. Powerful, right? One time created can sell it multiple times. And you have to think about your value, yourself being just that valuable, your idea, your creation. It can be a cookbook. The great thing about the time that we live in is that you can sell anything.
Anything. And that you think in your head that you are creating something that somebody else already did, but because it is yours and you're saying it in your voice, that's the difference. I think it brings me to worth, because we, especially as women, I feel like we get stuck in this idea that, well, who, that's Angela saying this from her own heart. Who wants to listen to me do a podcast? Who wants to listen to me write a book? I mean, I don't even have a home. Who wants to listen to me write a book? And yet the courage that you bring to the table and say, I did it anyway. I had my microphone for my podcast for 4 years before I even took it out of the box. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about.
Wow.
Talk us through that mindset shift. How do you take, and I know that's a big question, a portion of that. How do you take someone that says, I can't write a book. Nobody would listen to me.
And if you all notice, I'm very observant about now the times that we live in. Now, if you all notice, because some years ago, before when social media came out, people were more polished focused, right? And there are still some people who are polished focused. When I say polished focused, you know, their hair, for women, hair has to be done, nails, makeup, and all the things. And this may crack some of you all up, but you've seen it. You go on social media and women are in their robes with no bra on. They're getting dressed, putting on makeup, right? And you get to see them without all of the beauty. And those videos, if you all notice them, get the most views. Why? There are people at home who identify. Remember, people, and when you think about yourself, again, there are people who want to connect with someone who is them or who was or is like them. So, one, never minimize yourself and wonder who would buy anything from you, because there are experiences that you have overcome that you can teach and help others walk out of and transform from, even if you feel like your life is still jacked up. Even if you feel like you're not perfect, your goal, and let me say this, your goal is never to be perfect. Your goal is to progress. That's the goal. If your goal is to reach for perfection, you will never be perfect. You will always be disappointed. You'll always be upset about the fact that you're not perfect. But if you focus on, I was here 5 years ago, but look at what I overcame. I was here when I was a child, but look at who I am now. And you begin to list all of your accomplishments. And that's something that I do to remind myself of how amazing I am, right? Because a lot of the times people overlook their achievements, but you have to begin to see yourself in a different way. I always tell people this. This is one of the revelations I got about mindset. Mindset, we know, is a compound word. We have mind and we have set, right? So your mind includes what you believe to be true, what you know to be true, right? And what your belief system says. This is what you believe. A set is a position. It's a place. So when we put the two words together, mindset is literally the set or a place or the position of what you know to be true, of your way of thinking and what you believe. The greatest thing about it is if you look at the word set, you can change positions. You can change what you believe. You can change how you believe. You can change the lies that people told you when you were growing up, that you were worthless, that you weren't going to make it, that even the lies that you told yourself. But it's all about choosing.
But it is. It's about choosing and about being intentional in the choosing, because it isn't just a one-time choice. I have to make that choice. I did it. No, because tomorrow something's going to happen that's going to take you back to being 5 years old again and hearing that sound that you don't want to hear. And you have to then undo that. And then you have to remember, no, I am worth it. I am worthy. Someone does want to hear my voice. Someone out there is waiting for my message. Those kinds of things you have to continue to say, because it isn't just a one and done kind of moment.
Absolutely not. Remember, I'm in the medical world, right? As a pharmacist, one of the things that I've learned, and even those who are in aesthetics, you learn that your skin sheds. We shed, our hair sheds, right? Which means we are always shedding. We're always, even our hair sheds, our skin sheds. So if our hair, if the physical aspects of us, because it's dead, falls away, do we not realize that there are mental thoughts and emotions that need to shed as well? There are beliefs that we have that are dead that need to shed as well. Absolutely.
Get them out of the way.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. The position. We can always change position. Wow. Okay.
Hey there. It's Angela from Been There, Done That. If you're navigating the wild, unpredictable world of grief, I want to invite you to something special. It's called Messy Mornings, and it's our free weekly newsletter filled with real talk, gentle reminders, and support that actually meets you where you are. Each week, I'll send you stories, reflections, healing prompts straight to your inbox. No fluff, no pressure, just the space to release, feel, and heal. You don't have to do this alone. Head over to Done That podcast.com and sign up for Messy Mornings. It's totally free and it's made with you in mind. I've been there, and let's walk through this together.
We've made a choice. We've moved on from our choice, and now we want to get started. And then we hit a roadblock. Mm-hmm. Something happens and our husband gets fired after we move into our sister-in-law's house with the rest of our family. And we have to change our position, but we also have to change the plan. Talk us through what that means to you.
Well, and I'll say this, going through an experience like that, you have to, one thing that I mastered was being, because they, at the time, it wasn't called emotional intelligence, but I coined it as being aware of my emotions and confronting them, because that's literally all emotional intelligence was. I was like, they done came up with a word for that, right? But I always became very conscious and aware of where I was emotionally. Because even shortly after that, we found out that I was pregnant with our first child together. And that was a whole lot, right? But I had to always be conscious of where I was emotionally. And in the moments where I was sad, I had to allow myself to feel those feelings and honor why I was feeling those feelings. And then, and the reason why that's important to me is because I've seen so many people who you put on a face, you put on hair, you put on clothes, and you're still jacked up. You have all of this money, but you're mentally, emotionally, you're still jacked up. And the reason why is because you never gave yourself the space to heal or to feel all of the stuff that you went through. So what happens is you take all of those emotions with you to your next level. That's not what we're doing. That's not the goal, right? So even for me, the first step is to be emotionally aware and confront them and heal from them. The second thing is once I have the space to heal, once I have the space to confront what I am feeling, then the powerful thing about that, and people don't realize that, is when you do that, you give yourself the power to believe and shift and change on a whole nother level, right? Because you begin to shed extra weight. When you have the weight on, when you have the stress on, when you haven't confronted the death or the trauma and stuff like that, it's hard to think. It's hard to process. It's hard to create. That's why the book is not done, right? This is why you start stuff and you don't finish stuff, because you still haven't healed and let go of the weight of the traumas that you have gone through. So it's very difficult to create when you're still holding on to weight. It's like literally taking 200 pounds up a mountain that you're daring to climb. Right.
So you're making the steps that much harder. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So be emotionally aware. Once you're emotionally aware and you give yourself space to heal, then you can begin to embrace what is next. And this is where the creation comes in. I truly believe I was able to write a book even while I was nursing our son, even while we were picking up the pieces to our lives. And for our lives, and literally, and I wish I would have kept it, y'all. You remember those little paper folders that have the three prongs in the middle? I had one of those at home, and I had notebook paper, right? I literally got that folder. I ain't know nothing about writing a book, y'all. Nothing. Zero. I knew how to write, though. I knew words. So I said, surely we can figure this out. So when our son went to sleep with my husband, I would get that little red prong notebook out and I would begin to write. And I wrote 15 minutes a day. And the name of the book is 40 Days to a Better You. And it's astounding to me, the revelations that I got, but it's because I had the space to heal. So the exciting thing is I was able to heal. And in the midst of transitioning out of our own situation, I created something that would help other people heal. And that same creation is still making me money. One time.
Yes. Yes. But huge courage to create that one thing. I mean, I love the one-time concept. I don't mean to say that that's not right, but I just want to give so much to the fact that you did it anyway.
Absolutely. What else was I going to do?
Right.
here, and this again, everything is about perspective. And this is where the place and the position of my mind was. What else am I going to do? Am I just going to sit here and look at bills pile up and look at, you know, collections calling? And I think during that time, we did a voluntary repo, because I just didn't want people hunting me down. I said, here, y'all come get the car. I get another car. Like, that's the easy thing. But even in the midst of that, I was like, okay, why sit here and wallow in sorrows when I have the ability to create something? But I'm going to tell y'all why and how I had that. Who and what you're surrounded by mentally and emotionally matters more than you know. See, even before being fired from my job, I surrounded myself with people and experiences of wealth. So it wasn't hard for me because it was in me. It wasn't hard for me to fathom creating something and being able to sell it. Now, let me just put a disclaimer. Before putting myself in those environments, oh yeah, I doubt it. Oh yeah. But once I shifted my environment, I had the capacity to think of myself on a greater level and in the way that I know God created me to be. But it's all about how you have to give yourself permission to see yourself in the way that God intended, in the way that you're supposed to see yourself.
It's so hard to do because we listen to each other. And we listen to comparison. We listen to the generational stories that we tell each other and all the things. And yet, yeah.
Their lives.
Yeah. You have to get rid of the noise, is what I'm hearing you say. Get down to the important foundational truth that there is, and that is that you were created to not just sit still and be miserable.
Absolutely. I mean, here's another perspective. Do you really think that the people that you see on TV are the only ones, or the ones who you think are successful? I don't care who you label as successful. They can be on TV, social media, whatever. Do you think that they were the only ones created to be successful? No, it's a choice.
And work and courage, and then another choice, and then work and then courage. And you just keep it goes back to your statement about we can't sit still. Mm-mm. Because honestly, it's just every day making another choice, making another small move.
The right choice. What people don't realize, you choose every day. If you choose to do something that's bad, it's a choice. If you choose to do something that's good, it's a choice. If you choose to do something that's going to make you money, it's a choice. If you choose to do something that's not going to make you money, it is a choice and a decision that you have made. Either way, you're making a choice. You just have to decide which one profits me more. Listening to the drama and the fights on social media, or do, even if I am in a financial strain, I still have access. That's the other great thing about it. Like, even if you don't, I'm gonna have a funny moment. Even if your phone, let's say your carrier has canceled your service, right? You go somewhere and take that same phone and get free Wi-Fi.
Right? I mean, I was just talking about going to the library and sitting on the computer, but you can do that at McDonald's, y'all. You can walk in to just about any store and use their Wi-Fi. And be able to do things even without being able to make a phone call. And that is, that's the true definition of solutionist. Because you're thinking outside the box instead of focusing on the negative, instead of focusing on the fact that I don't have a phone because I got fired from my job. I can focus on the things I can do, the things I do have, the things I can make the most of. And that is that you still have this piece of equipment in your hand that may not be able to make a phone call, but that's okay. Because you can, and a lot of times you can text on Wi-Fi over Wi-Fi. So you don't even have to have phone.
You don't. And you can make video calls as long as you're on Wi-Fi. That's what I said. People, it's again, at the end of the day, it's a choice and a decision that you make. And nobody, here's the thing. Nobody has to know that you're home. People didn't know I was homeless. I was still creating videos on other people's Wi-Fi. People didn't know I was homeless. I told you I just volunteered at the shelter. People didn't know I was homeless. When I began to build my business, people didn't know I was struggling. They didn't know. Oh, here's the thing. Again, going back to being a solutionist, they wanted a solution for their problem. People care about themselves. So as long as you're creating something that will help benefit them, it ain't about you. And see, that's the problem that a lot of people have. We're so focused on us. The way we think and all of this other stuff. People don't care about it. People want to know, how can you help me? How can you help transform my life? What have you created to help me to transition out of this place? Or what food did you, whatever your product, your service is, people just need to know how it's going to help them and transform their lives. You provide a solution for them. Guess what? They're going to pay for the problem. I mean, they're going to pay for the solution to their problem. But again, it's all about the position and the place of your thinking. Yes. And I applaud everybody for taking the time out to listen to this podcast, because you're getting nuggets that will help you to shift your mindset to a different and greater place. So y'all are off to a great start.
For free, by the way. You are getting Dr. Mobley for free. Right, this minute. And but that's part of the thing, though, right, is that there's more to it to us as being in this platform, because we know there are people out there suffering silently. We've both done it, and we don't say anything out loud because it doesn't ultimately matter. We can solve our own problem. But that means we're not knocking on people's door going, I need help. I need help. I have a problem over here. Not everybody's doing that. So to me, these kinds of moments where we're giving nuggets for nothing, because it is so important that you hear them and be able to act on your own and to be able to solve the problem on your own. And you can. I believe it more after this episode than I have ever before, because I just didn't think about these things the way that you're describing them.
And that's what it's all about. My goal, I don't care if it's a post, a photo, a video, a program, a product, a book, a story. My goal is to provide a transformation at the end of the day. It's to provide a transformation. If I haven't, one is either because you just don't want to receive it, or I just didn't do my job. But this is what I know I'm created to do, is to provide transformation. And I'm crystal clear on that. And to hear you say that, I am grateful. I'm very, very grateful, because this is exciting to me. I love this.
What would you say if you were to give one last piece of advice to our audience? What would you say is that piece of advice?
I'm going to make it very simple, because one thing about Dr. Janie is I'm very simple. And I say this usually at the end of every podcast that I do. You sat here and you listened to about maybe 30 to 40 minutes of great conversation and content and suggestions and stories. But always remember this. You can always make money, but you cannot go back and retrieve your time. Okay? So the time that you invested in this, I want you to identify the one thing. Not three things, not two things, not 10 things, because we're great at making lists, right? But identify the one thing that you heard that resonated most with you, that you can apply to your life, your business, your family, and implement the one thing. That's it. Implement the one thing. Because people are great about making promises to themselves, but they drop the ball. Because you have a whole bunch of other stuff going on, but identify the one thing and apply it to your life. It could be something that I said or something that Angela said, but apply it, do it, because you've invested your time. Don't waste it by leaving and doing nothing with it. There's an opportunity that you now have to do something that will improve you and the dynamic of your family for centuries after you are gone. Do the one thing. That's it. The one thing. That's what I got.
I love it. And I want us to be able to work with you. So tell us how we can find you and how we can work with you and get to know you better.
Sure. I am on Instagram. I'm a YouTuber. I love YouTube. I'm there as Dr. Janine Mobley. I'm sure in the show notes, Angela will have a link to my free product, The 5 Mistakes That Women Make That Prevent You From Profiting From Your Purpose, that you can get at the link below. It's drjanine.net, /5 mistakes. So I would definitely love to have you a part of my community. Again, I'm on Facebook. That was the other area I didn't mention. But Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Instagram. I would love to hear from you all. Please provide feedback. Let us know how you enjoyed the show and make sure you share this, because I enjoyed having a conversation with Angela today.
It has been so life-giving and hope-giving. And I know that the audience will feel that as well. And I know that I can't wait to hear of the things that people are implementing because of our conversation. So it will be, the ripple effect will be beautiful. So thank you for telling your story, for being open, for being honest, and for teaching us in only the way that you can. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.